Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I wonder if anyone can remember back before Christmas when we had our special Advent wreath with its four candles round the outside. And one of them was pink. And we've got it back there again today. And those four candles on the wreath reminded us of people in the Bible who pointed us to Jesus. And can you remember who the red one, the pink one, was? Who did that tell us about? Anyone remember? The person pointed us to Jesus, and we did the pink candle on the Sunday just before. Mary, that's right, Mary, the mother of Jesus. So we've got the candle again here today because we're thinking about Mothering Sunday and mothers. And Mary was there in our reading from Luke's Gospel when she took the baby Jesus into the temple, and Simeon, this old man, blessed him. But he also said to Mary, "There will be some sadness in your life as this child grows up." And then we heard that story of Moses in the basket floating down the River Nile, and the princess found him, and the princess arranged for him to be brought up. The mother of Moses had to give up her child when he grew older. What sort of a mother is that, I wonder? Well, today, Mothering Sunday, in England, it's a bit like Muttertag here. You know, people give chocolates and flowers and cards to their mothers, which is all very good and lovely. But if you look in the Bible, you would have difficulty finding that kind of atmosphere in these stories about mothers in the Bible. Mary had to be prepared to lose Jesus. Moses' mother gave up her child. Because the Bible actually goes far deeper into the human psyche than all the flowers and chocolates of Mother's Day, as the advertising people call it, or Muttertag. And something else, because all parents at some stage have to expect their children to grow up and to leave, as God himself had to go through in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and what happened in the end? Did they stay in the garden? No, they had to leave, didn't they? They grew up and left. Every parent has to face that, as God himself had to face it. The child Moses was brought up by someone who was not his actual parent. Mary, at the foot of the cross, was commended by Jesus to the disciple John. John took her and cared for her. She ceased to be someone who was caring and became cared for herself. We often find ourselves in that situation where it is not just our parents who care for us, but other people do as well. And occasionally that goes horribly wrong. We read of scandals in orphanages, institutions for children who for some reason can't stay at home, or old people's homes. And that reminds us again of what Jesus said about shepherds. He said there is a difference between the shepherd who cares for the sheep God cares for his people. And those others for whom caring is just a job. Caring for the shepherds. Caring that Mary experienced after she lost her son. Caring of Moses by others. That is what we might call godly caring. Giving and receiving the care of a mother to anyone who needs it. Not putting your own wants and needs first, but those of the parents, the people who receive the care. Godly mothering. It's a task all of us, young and old, men and women, can do. I want to tell you two little stories, and they both take place in Uganda. Anyone know where Uganda is? There it is, over there, Uganda. Where is it? Africa, that's right. Uganda is a country in Africa, and there are just over 27 million people living there, and there's a constant battle against poverty and disease and sometimes rebellion. The Mothers Union, I've seen their logo on our screen, the Mothers Union, which is a Christian organisation of women, part of the Anglican Communion and found all over the world. And there are 17,000 of them in Uganda, working to restore broken communities and broken relationships. One of the pioneering ways they do this is through the Mothers Union Family Life Programme. And that brings communities together to talk about the problems they face and how to find solutions. The issues they deal with is things like having enough food, getting good health care, HIV/AIDS, and sustainable farming. Many family life programs start growing vegetables that will improve the diet of the family and also help to make a living. Gradually, the communities start to gain confidence in themselves and to gain genuine self-sufficiency. They can feed themselves and their children without outside help, which is a big boost to their confidence and their self-belief, as well as the quality of their life. But the Family Life Programme is effective because it nurtures not just food, but relationships. One Mothers Union member says, there is a spirit of helping one another and building relationships that did not exist before. Because relationships are how strong communities work in Uganda and everywhere else. And mothering is a very important part of this. Ugandan members of this program describe how if you see a child in danger, you respond as if it was your own child, because everyone is part of the community and belongs to everyone else. We all have a responsibility to care for our children, one Ugandan Mothers Union member said. Our children are our children. And things won't change unless we look after the world. Another explained it this way. I have to care for your children and you have to care for mine. An example of godly mothering that has such a great success in a poor and troubled country. And I want to tell you another story. Again, it's in Uganda, and it was told to me by a bishop from Uganda. about 20 years ago, you will probably remember there was a dictatorship in Uganda, a man called Idi Amin, who was a very tyrannical ruler and persecuted people, including the then Archbishop of Uganda, who was murdered by Idi Amin. After that, the Archbishop's family fled across the border to the country next door, and they were housed by a priest in a parish just over the border. And it often happened. People were fleeing for their lives, and this priest and his family gave them homes and meals and a bed and a mat and so on. His children got a bit fed up. Do I have to give up my bed again? Do I have to share my food again? And their parents said, yes, these people are in need. It is our Christian duty to help. And so they did. And then one day, there was a coup, and Idi Amin was overthrown and put in jail. And his family had to flee. And where did they go? Knocked on the door of the self-same priest. And his children asked, do we have to give our bed to Idi Amin's children? Yes. They are in need. We must give it. That is godly mothering.